What is your take right now on bone and specifically the risk of fracture, particularly in patients who are having bone mineral density monitoring and bisphosphonates?
Yeah, I think I was sort of impressed by the study that was presented, I think, last year from the ATTACC trial. It was a sub-study of bone mineral density. And essentially what they have concluded from that study was that if you have a normal bone mineral density when you come into the study, it's very unlikely, actually, they didn't see anybody that developed osteoporosis within 5 years. And certainly that's very reassuring in terms of how much time it takes for the bone mineral density to change. So it gives us a lot more leeway in terms of when we obtain bone density tests. And even if you don't do it every year, if somebody has a normal bone density test and baseline, you can probably wait a couple of years to do the next one. And obviously intervene with bisphosphonates if bone mineral density decreases.
That actually reminds me of when Mike Baum presented the ATTACC data in 2001. It was right after Trevor Pals had presented the study looking at, was it cladrenate? Did they use
cladrenate?
Showing, you know, fewer metastases in patients who got the cladrenate. Now, you also, the NSABP has a study looking at cladrenate that's been closed for a while. When do you think that's going to be reporting?
Yeah, this study started, I think, around 2000 or so and closed about 2004. We accrued over 3,200 patients randomized to cladrenate for 3 years or placebo. One of the issues was to extend the duration of cladrenate to 3 years because the triple pulse study was 2 years. This study has been closed now for a couple of years and we are still following it. Our data monitoring committee sees the data every so often, but so far we haven't crossed any boundary for reporting. And one of the reasons may be that the event rate in that study will be lower. And part of the problem is that when we run this study, we're also running other node positive trials of chemotherapy. And so patients that were at higher risk for recurrence, node positive disease, more aggressive, tend to go to the chemotherapy trial, which I think was B30 at the time. So by definition, we put a lot lower-risk patients in that trial, patients with non-negative disease or sort of more indolent node-positive disease with ER-positive tumors. So we don't see as many events as what we expected. So it's going to take maybe a little longer. But I expect in the next year or two that will be reported.
Any predictions on what it's going to show?
Obviously, we like to see that cladrenate affected bone metastasis and also that affected non-bone metastasis, as it was shown in the Trevor Paul study. But again, all bets are off because a lot of times we see something in a smaller trial, and that's what we did, the B34, to definitively try to confirm whether the effect of cladrenate was real. And no, I think I learned in research not to make predictions because often we're wrong.
Do you think there are going to be enough events there to get an answer?
I think eventually it will be, but it may take a little longer than anticipated. I think clearly the power will be there when the events come in.
Anything else you want to say about B42?
No, the other thing I want to mention about B42 is that we have what we call this optional letters of registration program. So if you have a patient that has received at least 2 years of an AI, they can come into the trial in the registration program and receive free letrozole for the remaining up to 5 years. And that way we get a more homogeneous population of letrozole patients and make sure that the patients tolerate letrozole before we randomize them. Now, the patients are not obliged to be randomized at the five-year mark. We will approach them again and have them sign another consent, but they can come into the free letrozole program as a registration trial.